Okay, we took a little break, changed some batteries, and now we're back. And you said you had something that you wanted to say, so.
Yeah. One of the things earlier that I wanted to do, because at the other paper I worked at, we didn't have any reporters. And one of the things he always used to say, he didn't do any, I want to say, proofreading. And he was not interested in taking it to another level. I have always wanted to, and always wanted to be recognized in this country for the work we do, for the body of work that we do. And I remember going through Bob and I, we would go to these conferences, the newspaper comes. That's how you learn. That's really how you learn. We there was a couple of papers in there, and it was a guy out of Sacramento named Dr. William Lee. And his paper would always take the number one this and the number two this. I'm saying, oh, he's number one. Why can't I take some number one positions? Why can't I have the best writers? Why can't I have this? You know, it took us about five, six, 7, 8 years to start getting to that level. And we won some, for small as we are, and that's some of the most positive things, we won best editorial, best community newspaper stuff. And it wasn't me, it was my writers, Lisa Loving and people like that. But you get them in that position. And I remember one year I came back out of about, there was the out of about 15 awards in this one category, we had six by side. We had six of them. All of them was first places. Lisa, Helen, and Brian. And at the time, they would make the checks out to the writer. Lisa Levin did one called Raising the Roof. And that was about a guy. That was about a guy that, you know, when you put a roof on your house, they put a lien on automatically. He paid everything off. But he didn't, he didn't do something. But anyway, it was about $40,000. I was out of town. Now, this is aggressive. Lisa was aggressive. the guy came in and had 4 days before they put the house on the sheriff auction. She did the story. Then she called Neil Kelly up here. Neil Kelly, he put his law firm on this company. Then they stopped it. And they did it pro bono. They stopped the work, got the license back. But then when his law firm found out the guy had a $10 million bond down there, they made him pay for it, and they stopped the house. And the guy came in about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, and brought Lisa some flowers. And we won the first base water in there. It was called Raising the Roof. That was a hell of a story.
So you've talked a couple of times about hiring good journalists and they need to have degrees, but what are you looking for in a journalist? How do you hire your staff?
Well, we like for them. We like to, well, now we like to see what kind of good international background they have. This lady, we got Melinda. She worked all over, AP, all over, okay? She was freelance. You know, she was on my freelance, and I'm just tired of every time I finish one job, I'm looking for another job. I'm constantly employed. So she came with some good credibility, a lot of strong attributes. But the young people today, you know, a lot of them don't seem to want to stay in one place for a long, long time. So you got to make sure that they learn about the community. And I talk to them a lot about the community. For instance, they want to do like that story I said, well, you need to call so-and-so, you need to call so-and-so, call them. They'll talk to you. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But they learn. They learn about this community. Don't try and do the same thing that you did when you were at the Oregon or you was at the AP store. This is about this community. So you got to stand it out. You got to send it to that facility because they're looking for us. So having said all that, so you look for that school training, and we not don't. We tried a young man, and I said this young this generation. Listen, it's just a different breed. They don't have to work ethic you and I got. They would go camping, hiking, and they just do different things. This guy didn't have a degree, but he knew the community. But we're small, so, and Helen and Lisa really, really liked the guy. I listened to him. But it took so much time to do his work. And he didn't want to, I said, you got to go back to school because we can't do everything for you. You got to be able, now the writers got to be able to come do these stories and have a proof and then put it up. Before, they didn't have to do that. So he didn't understand that as well, so we ended up having to let him go because it was just taking too much the other people's time. But, so, then they didn't understand, well, you changed my story. Well, when you turn it in, it belongs to me. You ain't got nothing to do with it. Forget it. It's my story. Your name's on it. So that's how we. But I don't deal with the stories Bobby do. But my job is kind of run the organization a little bit. But it really runs itself now.
Well, sure. I also wanted to go back a little because you were talking about expanding into Seattle and the two radio stations. And I'm not sure everybody knows kind of that the Scanner is in Seattle and certainly not about the radio stations.
Well,
so, how did you get involved in both of those enterprises? And you can talk about those separately because it probably makes more sense.
Well, the radio was an interesting phenomenon. You know, information is power. So you're sitting here and you're reading this stuff. And say, oh, here's a couple of new FCC stations that's coming in Eugene and Roseburg. Never been on the air. Well, why don't you put in for it? $150. File the application. That's what I did. Nothing genius about it. File the application. 4 years later, they say, oh, You won the permit. And then you have to build. They've never been built on the air. They never was. So to me, that was another learning experience. How you build a radio station? I don't know. But there are people that know how to do it. Brandon, your job is to find them. So I said, okay. Got on the phone. I called my friends back in Washington. So let me call so-and-so's over there at the FCC, Bernie. I know him. He wouldn't know. So he gave me a guy down in Sherman Oaks, California. That's how I got the guy. And I didn't want anybody from Oregon. The reason I didn't want anybody from Oregon, nobody knew me in Roseburg, nobody knew me in Eugene. And I didn't want them to stop me before I got there. So I hired him. He came up. I met him down in Eugene. He was a DC-7 pilot that had been laid off. So he had to get the license up. So he rented a plane, found some sites, and built them on weekends. He built them 4 weekends. 4 weekends. Come up on a Friday, leave Sunday. Come up on a Friday, leave Sunday, plane back. 4 times, and that's how he built them. I go down there, and him and I, we became real good friends, and he liked to eat, and I did too, and we liked to eat in Eugene. They had some neat restaurants down there. But how, the station we got in Eugene is called K-E-U-G. Eugene. And how I got those call signals, that was the last call signal there. That's Eugene. Most people on it, one day that. And how I got that, I used to go there, I used to go back to D.C. every month. I'd go back. And this lady, there was a lady in there, was very, very helpful to me. Very, very helpful. She said, Eugene, but that, it's a ship called USS Eugene. It's in mothball. And when they decommission it, here's the paperwork. You fill it out. And that's when you can get it. So, okay. They said, but you got to keep up with it. I said, I ain't got time to keep up with this thing. I said to myself, but make a long story short, I came back one time and I said, Naomi, send this lady some flowers because she's been very, very helpful. She forgot. So about 2 weeks later, I said, did you send so-and-so a flower? Oh, I forgot. Let me do this right now. And sometimes, you know, babies and fools. She sent the lady some flowers. And she said, I was having such a, call me up. Thank you, I was having such a bad day. Da, 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 da. And this, just so wonderful of you. 6 months later, I get this call from her. She said, the ship been just decommissioned. I filled the paperwork out for you. I'm affectionate to you, and you signed it. See, so some, just be nice to people. That's how I got it. She said, it decommissioned 5 minutes ago. I filled it out for you. Just sign the paperwork. She affected me right here. And that's how I got it. So, you know, that's how I got their call letters. And I was at the radio company. And they said, how in the hell did you get that? I said, oh, man, it's enough bullshit. Don't tell me that. I don't know, man. I just got lucky. But that's how I got it. So, you know, so just being nice to people helps. And I tell people, you ain't got to be just carrying yourself nice. And it really goes a long way. So that's how I got those call letters. So when I say fail, now let me go back and tell you one thing, because I think it's important for the newspaper. You know, sometimes your ego is your worst enemy. I tried to run radio the way you run the newspaper. No. Radio, I remember this guy told me, a jockey, he said, on radio, every 15 minutes, that's what jockey told me, he said, then I got to find another 15 minutes of why you don't turn the dial. That's my job, Mr. Ross. But I'm trying to run it like I'm running this old dull newspaper. It's hype, constant movement. One thing I learned really good down there, I did some good promotion down there. I used to do a summer safety program with Safeway. They loved me down there. And we did it right in the parking lot. Like you start, you know, the first of the, start Labor Day, you get the sheriff, I got all the people together on the Safeway parking lot. And I'm looking at the people come in, there was women with kids. I said, that's your market, Bernie. I said, what do you do? I said, I'm with Chris over here. I'll tell him what I did. You know, okay. But I learned, and what I learned is hype, and you can do radio is probably the best for, do it right now. Come down right now. We got 5 left and another half an hour. You can't do it with radio, with print. But it took me a little while to understand that. And by that time, I was almost broke. So, but I was in the impression that I could run it. I said, you better leave this stuff alone.
Well, you know, you're talking about that immediacy of radio and yeah. that's what it's good for.
Yes, it is good.
And is there a correlation between that and the internet? Because I would think, even though you're still doing a print weekly paper. You've been online, I'm not quite sure how long.
85.
And that's just changing by the month and the year for sure, as far as the speed with which. So how are you kind of juggling those two different formats?
Well, and you're so You're so absolutely right. It's a close correlation, especially with this new media, the internet, and what it does. They're nothing but television station. I'm trying to get my people to understand that. I said, look, we one of the best people in the world promoting it, television. They always got these, I said, when we do a story, let's promote it. So it's kind of hard for them to get into promote. So that's why I say you got to reinvent yourself. It is. It's a whole new ballgame. But figuring it out is another thing. But we are getting really good at promotion. We're getting better at it, but we haven't really mastered it because it's a small television program, as far as I'm concerned. And what they try and do, why television? They're really good at, you can read more on our website at www.com. They want you to come there. Exactly. So they're selling that to the advertisers. So we ain't quite mastered that yet, but we're pretty good at. Now I'm going to do a Vanport, a Wicked Vanport. It's a movie industry. Patricia will put it up. She'll put it up. We did about 6 of them. She'll put it up on Labor Day, and we have about. We're gonna show it at the McMinniman Theater. But it tells you who they are, where they're coming from, how long they've been there. And they'll make their own reservation. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. But it's a good niche for us. Require no work. Yesterday, I got the theater. We got the film. And Patricia, we'll get everybody signed up, and we'll build that. The website for all those addresses, and we send them any way we want to send them to. Get them all over the world. People look at that stuff. So it's a whole new bargain. Do I want to be around for it all the time? I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it again, but it's fun and easy. But, you know, I don't want to do what I did 50 years ago. I don't know if that makes any sense.
A young man's game, huh?
It is. Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Nothing wrong with it, but I don't think I want to do it anymore. No, it is a young man's game. And it's constantly learning all these different devices. Yeah. Tweeters and tweeting. And by the way, I tweet too.
I heard that. I was going to ask you about that.
I have fun. I'm talking to a friend of mine this morning, and we were. You know who Joel Osteen is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were pissed off at him because he didn't open the church up. He opened up today this morning, though. And did you see it? I tweeted, and it was so many people talking about that big old mega church. Man, you from Houston? You tell me you didn't open it. But today he was soft-pelling it. But he opened it up. Now that's the power of them tweets. Man, it was. So, called some friend, man, look at this stuff. He said, Bernie, he said, I got a cousin down there. I asked her about it. She goes to his church, and she getting mad at me. He said, I asked her, what? Are you drinking his Kool-Aid or what? She was mad because you were asking the question, why you open the church? But that's those ministers sometimes. But he opened it up. That's all that matters. But, you know, we said, Bernie, she got mad at me. I said, why? I wanted to ask her, are you drinking this Kool-Aid? It was funny. All right, so.
Well, you know, the one other medium that I know that you were involved in or perhaps even kind of promoting for a while was cable TV. You had some show called Black Press and Review.
Right.
And so you're, it, As we're talking about how to use different technologies and what their role is, what did you see in cable TV and cable access?
Well, it's a new medium. I knew that they needed content, and I knew that, they didn't have all the means of producing content. And what I wanted to do at the time, you probably saw a press and review. Well, I did a thing here called Black Press and Review. And what I did, I got a lady from the Oregonian, I got a guy from Seattle, I was a good moderator, and about two local people here, and they talk about once a month, we would do an hour show on cable. We had all the props on it, about Black Press and Review, all this different that we saw differently. We did it about a year and a half, so, and I funded it and everything.
Was that Linda Williams who was?
No, she never did on it, but it was around that time.
Okay.
It was, yeah, I think it was Linda Williams, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was one of them, because we had to get the, she from Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had to get Fred's approval, and I got a guy, the priest, but this guy could talk. Just radio, just good talkers. And we got this guy, the Seattle, nice-looking guy, Eddie Wright, you know, image on TV, you know, they got to be nice-looking people, you know. I hate to say that. Well, that's what, at those days, that's what it was. Yeah, so we did that a year, and we covered different topics all around the country, all the United States. Issues here, maybe in Seattle, then the national stuff. So it kind of emulated off those other shows, the national, local, and then the local stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you talked a little earlier too about like the National Black Publishers Association, mm-hmm. and what were there differences between issues that were going on in another part of the nation? Because those were groups that were bringing a lot of people together from many different cities, many different parts of the country with different histories and. How did that work? And you talked about kind of learning at those conferences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you learn. But one of the things that remember I said we first started out, and I was very fortunate to be with some of the other guys. I tried to join the National Newspaper, the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association, and they didn't want me. So, okay. So we said, I saw this guy, Bill Lee, the number one. Well, our national newspaper back east, and if you live back east?
Midwest.
Okay.
Michigan, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, same thing. Okay. I call them the same thing. All right. They think, at that time, the West didn't know anything, basically. Mm-hmm. So, very arrogant guys. So, I couldn't join that. And about eight of us one time. So we met back there, and they were published from Oregon, Washington, up there, California, Arizona, and Nevada. So we said, the West is different. What can we do? Da, da, da. So we knew. So eventually, we formed a thing called the West Coast Black Publishers Association. That's what we did. Later I became president, and I kind of knew the stuff. And we traveled the country. I'll give you a good example. Nordstrom, we sold Nordstrom, and we had Nordstrom for about 12 years. 17 papers had, we sold them. And then we assessed each publisher about 2%. That way it kept us traveling around the country. Walmart, we called them Walmart. The guy knew me, he said, I know where you are. You're down by Emmanuel Hospital. We're in Bentonville, Arkansas. He knew. He said, you're in a good position because we're coming west. So we got a little advertising out of him. The guy was in California, was trained by IBM. Super salesman. Super, super salesman. This guy could sell. So we traveled the country about almost 5 years. We made good dollars, and the national got mad at me got mad at me. The guy that by the name of Bogle called me up one day and told me he wanted us to disband the West Coast. Mr. President, that's fine. You can tell me I can't do that, but here's what you can do. Your members, I only got 17 publishers, but you got 160-some publishers. So why don't you call these 17 publishers up and tell them to fire me? That's your prerogative. Otherwise than that, you can go to hell. I didn't say it like that. No, I'm not doing it. But we had just sold Nordstrom, and they're happy. So we were pretty up. And we were pretty terrible. I mean, Toyota, I mean, we just sold a lot of stuff. And then about 8 years later, all the newspaper publisher called me, Timothy McJordan, and said, I want to join you. I don't need you now.
So what did they give you as a reason why you couldn't join? And what did you think the reason was?
Well, first of all, I probably didn't have a big enough circulation for them. Because, you know, at that time, they were making big money. So everybody would buy the Oregon newspaper, and then they'll spend the money. By the way, they place their ass now with me, okay? I'm having a problem with it. So what we did, they found out that we were knocking and on the same one they were getting on. So they were buying us separately from them. You know? And they would take out about 10%, you know, from you. So they went missing that 10%. And so, but you know, they started falling off too. So they had to reinvent themselves too. But I said, I don't need you now. But we get a little bit of a problem. So you're just being creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I asked you a question.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I did or not.
No, you did.
Okay.
You did.
But so that was the difference of what they did differently. It was just a numbers thing with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you one last question for today?
Sure.
You've talked about some of the issues that have come up, around policing issues. You specifically were talking about the 48-hour rule. Mm-hmm. You're talking about when, you know, at your first offices, the major issue with prostitution, and I've actually spent a little time scrolling through the microfilm, looking at old scanners on the microfilm, and, you know, seeing some of those same issues back then that
you're
writing about now, and I guess I was interested in how you think about that both personally and professionally, that some of these issues are still on your front pages.
Well, personally, I know history got a way of repeating itself. Okay, so you've been doing this as long as I've been, and being able to talk to different people. I see it a lot of times. It's the same old issue. It's just new people recycling them. And just different spin. You just saying it different than what somebody said 20 years ago. Same issue, stand around, prostitution, gang, shooting. You write about it, it still comes around, crime. But, and I said, however, let me use the word, however, I think you cannot stop pushing to change it. Pushing to change it. And people, when we talk about Osteen, people respond to pressure. You got to keep pushing. Just a little bit. You don't have to hit them with sledgehammer. Just hit them until it sting. A little sting, a little prick. They move. So you just got to keep. And I tell my people all the time, you know, just cause what he said don't mean nothing. This is what we got to do. Let's focus on what we can do and how we can do it. Now, doesn't mean it's going to work that way because we don't know, but we keep pushing it, then other elements, other things come into fold. Alliances comes in. Bernie, you support on this? I remember one time a guy was one of the ministers downtown was fighting about some cross town, and they kept calling me up to him. I said, look, man, I got my own problems over here. I ain't got no dog in that fight. No, I'm not taking our line off the, I'm not taking our mind off this over here. The fight with something happening downtown ain't got a dirt thing to do with us. But I know what he was doing. But I had never worked with him. But sometimes you do have to go there and give a little support in order to get some of the things you want down the line. And I tell you who's very good at about ministering the lines. They're very good at keeping stuff before the public. So, yeah, so now, but the main thing is that I think you just got to keep pushing. It's the same old problem, same issue, just different people talking about it.
Do you see progress?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. That 48-hour rule is a good one. It's good progress. Yeah, Portland is a wonderful place. It's got its problems, but I love it. We came here to stay 5 years. We ain't going nowhere. You know, because we've learned to grow with this community. You see the progress. You see new people coming in. It's changing. I walked out here right now, half the black folks I seen there, I used to know everybody. I don't know half these people no more. The young people coming in, they got new energy, new skill set, and they're very good at what they do. So you just say, well, it's just time to move on and move over and let them kind of run it. And hopefully they'll make some good decision. And the only thing you can do is just keep pushing it out. And so I just try and do what we do best is put a light on it. And then sometimes see where the chips fall. Hopefully it'll fall in the way you want it, but it don't always fall that way. You know, because we thought that 48-hour rule, we thought that would have been solved. They've been working on that thing for 6 years, 5 or 6 years. And it always takes another turn. But we got a good mayor. And by the way, that mayor, I have my problem. I have my concerns about him, Ted. I think he'll be pretty good. Not just because of the 48-hour rule, but he listened. And when he was at the county, he didn't listen, in my opinion. But when we endorsed him, we said that if Ted got the same thing as he did when he hit the county, but we think people do change. And he's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Pretty strong. So I'm sort of glad we supported him. Yeah. Now it's gonna be interesting the race with Dan Salzman, Joanne Bowman, and then you got Loretta.
Maybe she hasn't announced yet.
Where's she going? And that's my opinion. I just think Joanne beat her to the punch. She was supposed to announce hers in right after Labor Day. Joanne announced hers. But neither one is going to be Dan, in my opinion. I think he's been around a long time. He's a good politician, and he knows it. He just, you ain't been that seat for 20 years without knowing something.
Well, maybe we'll end on that today, and we'll see to the future whether your prediction is accurate or not.
Okay. You're right. So anyway, so that's going to be a little interesting.
It is. Thanks so much.
Come on. Thank you.